Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Franchisepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we're meeting with Eric Kurjan, a franchise owner to Six Disciplines. And Six Disciplines Franchise Opportunity, of which Kurjan is a franchise partner, is a strategy execution program for small business. And Six Disciplines offers small to mid-sized businesses a never-before opportunity to experience enduring excellence, an ongoing, systematic approach to deal with an ever-changing business environment. And that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear new interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend?
Great, Marty. Going well. How about yourself?
Good, good. First day of spring today, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And checking my calendar, yep.
Although spring it doesn't begins. Feel like it, though. It feels like football weather out there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's still... It
feels like a nice fall day where you can go to a football game and just...
It's a month here in the Northeast. You don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited about this weekend with Easter coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
My kids, we had a little Easter egg hunt for them.
Oh, did you really?
Had it, and that was a lot of fun. And we'll be doing that as well. And
they'll
have their Easter baskets, and so we're looking forward to that.
Well, we're doing that this year, but I don't think it's going to be too effective with the baby being 5 months old. I don't know how much he's going to enjoy it, we haven't taken him to see the Easter Bunny. I guess maybe next year or the year after, we'll get his first picture, but again, you're at that great time of your kids' lives, where you get to experience all this stuff from the Easter Bunny to Santa Claus to the Tooth Fairy.
Right, they get excited about everything.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I forgot we just had St. Patrick's Day as well,
Yeah.
So, which I guess you celebrate, don't you?
Yeah, I'm part Irish, I guess.
Irish.
Well, your last name is McDermott. Are you Irish?
Well, I'm 50% Irish, yeah, so I have to celebrate it. So, although we really didn't.
Yeah.
But speaking of Irish, Don, our last show we met with a very special guest, Brian Stevens, the Vice President of New Business Development for the Franchise Opportunity, Marco's Pizza. And Brian had some 15-plus years experience in the food industry, primarily focusing on development and sales. I thought it was a great franchise opportunity. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, and you mentioned Brian, his background. He worked for Yum Brands.
That's right, yeah.
For a number of years, so I got to know some of their concepts, some of the leading concepts in their category. And
right.
Yeah, I like how they've put a lot of planning into the franchise. All the details from the ingredients to the pizza to how the restaurant's designed. And it was interesting him telling us all the different types of Italian cities and which designs they wanted to have for the look of the restaurant. And it looks like they're making all the right decisions, and
right.
I guess their goal is to be up there with some of the major pizza delivery companies like your Pizza Huts and Papa John's and so
sure,
forth.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Don. I think they did spend a lot of time. Brian mentioned to create. I think he called it like the perfect pizza. He feels that they have like the best sauce. I think they mentioned that they use like three types of tomatoes. The best dough, their dough is not frozen. You can always tell sometimes, can't you, when you're getting like that frozen dough,
right?
From a pizza place sometimes. And they really dissected every element of their franchise. A lot of thought was put into this franchise system.
They hired all the best consultants
to look at every facet
of the business.
Absolutely, and that's so important, isn't it? When you're considering buying a franchise, is who is steering the ship? I think their team consists of they're in the who's who in business or something like that. They're very selective as far as who they're going to take, to work in their top management team anyway.
Right.
So absolutely, and that's so important. And I think, Brian mentioned it, America's taste buds have become more, I guess you could say, demanding for pizza. You know, right. I believe that, you know, consumers today want better quality pizza. I know I do, you know, as a, you know, for me, just a plain slice of pizza really isn't enough today. You know, once you kind of get exposed to the whole world of, like, I guess you can call it gourmet pizza, it's kind of difficult to go back to just like a plain slice, you know. So that whole pizza industry, I think, is changing, certainly for the better.
Right. Yeah, it's going to benefit the consumers, of course. Hopefully faster service, better pizza, hopefully, you know, better prices.
Absolutely.
And what was their situation? I guess their ingredients for the pizza date back to Italy.
It did, yeah. I mean, there was a long history, too, wasn't there, as far as, like, how they, you know, set the whole system up. I think it was Pat Giammarco when he moved to the United States. I guess when he was 9 years old, his father was in the pizza business. And what his vision was to, you know, create the perfect pizza, you know? I mean, and
right.
That's how much thought went into it, from just picking out the tomato, you know?
Right. Three different types, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just any tomato, you know? There's three types of tomatoes that they actually use to come up with this sauce. So I think it's a great franchise system. I was interested in the, you know, question that you and I always ask is the training, you know? And they had an interesting training program, too, didn't they? Because it was based a lot on your experience, I guess, in the industry.
Yeah.
I know it was an extensive training program,
right.
But so I just thought overall, I think they're a great franchise opportunity. You know, I'd love to have Brian back on the show in the future because I suspect that this franchise is going to grow significantly, you know, over the next year. You know, and it's fun. You and I are at the point now where we bring a guest back a year later, you know, we get to watch their growth. You know, it's just incredible.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I'm definitely confident about this franchise, yeah.
Absolutely. So thanks, Brian, for coming on the show. And, again, we'll have to have him back. What do we have going on today, Donner, over the next probably, I guess, month?
Yeah, today, Marty, we're meeting with Eric Kurjan, franchise owner to Six Disciplines.
That's great. And we've had Gary Harsp on the show before, haven't we, the CEO and founder. And he's the author of the book, Six Disciplines for Excellence. You know, and again, I don't know if it seems like yesterday to you, we had Gary on the show. We actually ran that show again last week, you know, to kind of prepare for today's show. And
right.
I listened to that show again, and just the great franchise opportunity. They certainly go beyond business coaching, that's for sure.
Right. I guess Eric's also a franchise partner,
mm-hmm.
and basically it says that Six Disciplines is a strategy execution program,
right,
for small business. So,
yeah, absolutely. They're certainly different, Don. You know, I don't think there's anybody out there like Six Disciplines. You know, so again, I'm happy to get to speak to Eric today.
And on March 27th next week, franchise interviews. We're going to be meeting with Chad Kunkel and Chris DeMarchi. They're franchise owners to Fish Window Cleaning franchise.
That's fantastic. It's always fun to have two franchisees on the show, isn't it, at the same time, you know, especially these two guys are partners. So
they're having a lot of success. I met them down at the IFA show and interested in hearing all about the whole process. You know, how did they choose the franchise? What type of process
Great
they
question.
Go to? How was training? How did things start out? How did you advertise? We'll find out all the details.
Right.
And that's coming up next week.
And we were talking before the show, too. I mean, they won an award you were telling me about as well, didn't they?
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of competition to get that award. I don't know what the award is actually called, Don. I know they give an award to, like, was it the best franchisee or something like that in the
right,
country?
Right, for the year.
Yeah,
like that,
of the year,
exactly.
You know. And, I mean, so if you want to talk about competition, I mean, this is it. You know, they're competing with a lot of different franchisees out there. So they're definitely doing something right, and I suspect, I think you probably suspect the same thing, that they're following the system for Fish Window Cleaning. You know, I think that those
right.
are usually the best franchisees. Just follow the system.
Right.
So absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that.
And then on April 3rd, Marty, I think you wanted to mention who's coming on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're meeting with, and we just posted it up on the show page yesterday, Don, is we're meeting with Glenn Francis of Massage Heights. And I know you're familiar with these guys, aren't you?
Yeah, I know Glenn. We've been working with their franchise, you know, financing their franchisees. And so we've been happy about that. And Glenn's a good guy, and he'll be coming on the show in a few weeks, and we look forward to that.
Yeah, and I have some information on them as well, Don, for some, you know, our listeners who aren't familiar with Massage Heights. Because Massage Heights is an exciting new franchise opportunity in an industry that is still in its infancy stage. Massage therapy has been around for thousands of years. though until recently has not been seen as a practical application to treat stress, pain, and other disorders due to the inconvenience of scheduling, costs involved, and I guess this is the unprofessionalism of those in the industry. There's some pretty big numbers. Listen to this. It says, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, Don, so the Bureau of Labor Statistics, between 2004 and 2014, the demand for licensed massage therapists is going to increase 18 to 26%. And that's something that you and I look for, you know, when we're kind of let's say advising someone when they're buying a franchise, you certainly right. want to look at the growth opportunity, don't you?
Definitely.
You know, so that's so important.
Yeah, that's a hot growing industry. So
it is, and you and I have seen it since doing this, haven't we? I mean,
right.
again, several years ago, there weren't many massage franchises. Now you're starting to see them, so that's a good sign.
Starting to get gift certificates, birthday, holiday for a back massage. What's better than that?
Yeah, actually, you know, we'd have to see if Glenn will send us a
whole year's supply of back massage.
There you go. You know, that works.
You write that down.
Absolutely. I have to remember that. And so that simply means the demand for massage therapy is growing at an explosive rate. It also says, I found this interesting, Don. It says, healthcare providers and medical insurance companies are beginning for the first time to recognize massage therapy as a legitimate treatment and preventative measure for several types of injuries and illnesses alike. That's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, that could be huge to the
sure.
industry. If all of a sudden people are being able to have their insurance company cover some of those costs.
That changes the whole industry, doesn't it? You know, I mean, right. once you get insurance companies involved, and you know, it's proven in the medical industry that there's a lot of benefits to getting a massage. You know, and so I think that's fantastic. You know, I've never got into the whole massage thing. We at one of the schools I taught for, there used to be a massage therapy school next door, and sometimes they used to bring in their new students, and I guess before they were going to graduate, they would give free massages to everybody. And I tell you, it was relaxing, you know.
Right.
So I could see how somebody can get addicted to, that kind of service. Certainly a lot of benefits. So.
Yeah, it is good for you. I've heard that because when I go up to Lake Placid, New York, there's a place, and my wife and I get back massages. And
right, right.
Ladies always tell me the benefits of it, so.
Absolutely.
I think there's nice growth potential for the industry.
Absolutely. And I guess on the, the 10th, Don, I guess we have the, can you believe the franchise show is here already in Washington, D.C.?
Right, April 11th to the 13th, I was going to mention. And people wanting information on that, it's a show Friday through Sunday.
Right.
Marty and I were there last year. People can go to ifeinfo.com. Get all the information. It's at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center
right.
down in Washington, D.C. So that'll be here before we know it. So
which
that's
is a lot of fun. You know, do you know what booth? You,
I do have the booth number, but not.
Okay, we'll give it next week on the show. we'll plug the booth number next week. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I always look forward to the franchise show every year. You know, just getting
right.
down and meeting people again face to face. You know, and it's just a lot of fun. So.
That's put on by the International Franchise Expo.
That's right.
The name of the show. It's the 17th show. Also, there's a show out of Detroit put on by the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo. That's coming up April 5th and 6th in Detroit.
That's right.
So they have shows around the country. They just had a show here recently in New York. But people wanting information on the Detroit, Michigan show can go to usfranchiseexpos.com.
Right. Good. What else is going on? I know you had some interesting articles and current events.
Yeah,
that
yeah, something
to
here. You know, our friend Jim Cohen from Franchise Perfection.
He's great.
Received some information he received from the IFA. It says new IFA research finds that franchising nationwide expanded by more than 18% between 2001 and 2005, adding more than 140,000 new businesses and 1.2 million new jobs to the nation's economy.
Wow.
Says IFA President and CEO Matthew Shea. Today announced during a press conference at the National Press Club in D.C., the economic impact of franchising goes beyond the franchise sector, said Shea. The spillover effects of franchise businesses on non-franchise businesses included providing 21 million jobs and $660.9 billion of payroll. New research findings also show the direct economic output of franchises grew by more than 40% to $880 billion in 2005.
That's
so
incredible.
You know, these are pretty big numbers, and these are between 2001 and 2005, but pretty big growth, more than 18%.
Yeah, these numbers, I mean, we've seen it even since we've started the show, haven't we? I mean,
right.
One of the numbers we gave last week, Don, as far as like how many systems are out there, you know, and how many industries are out there. I mean, the growth has just been exponential. It's really incredible.
Right, and then they had a whole report on this. I'll just read off a couple stats here. It says the number of jobs provided because of franchise businesses is greatest. Here's some of the states where the, you know, the jobs are the most for the franchise industry. It's in California, of course, that makes sense, Texas, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio.
Interesting.
So those are a couple of the biggest states. The number of jobs provided because of franchise businesses. So those five states, franchising has the greatest percentage impact on jobs in Nevada. Jobs held because of franchising are 21.4% of Nevada's private sector workforce. Pretty big. Also, New Mexico, Arizona, Mississippi, and South Dakota, I think a state that you made fun of last week.
That was actually North Dakota.
Oh, okay. Are close to the top in terms of the percentage impact of franchising on jobs in the state. So franchising just, you know, big, it's just having a big impact and growing in certain states. Jobs caused by franchising is at least 10% of the state's private sector workforce in every state. So in every state nationwide, it's at least 10%, except for New York and in D.C.
Interesting.
That's kind of strange about New York State.
Yeah,
well, that includes
yeah.
the city and the boroughs and everything. There's so many businesses.
That's true.
So but I thought that was pretty interesting. Also, in this, Jim Cohen goes on, it says, your entrepreneurs find franchising a promising venue for growth. Steve Adams of the Brockton Enterprise reports that giving up the relative security of the corporate world for the uncertainties of entrepreneurship, Jeannie Guglielmi, was looking for structure and guidance. Instead of starting her own business from scratch, she bought a franchise from Wallingford, Connecticut, Edible Arrangements. I'm very familiar with that franchise. Been working with them for years, helping with financing.
We actually just, not to cut you off, we actually just purchased one of their, I guess, arrangements yesterday. That my aunt had surgery, so we just got an Edible Arrangements.
Yeah, that's what's nice about their service.
Sure, absolutely.
More choices than just sending...
than just the typical flowers, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's just absolutely. So it just it goes to show you the impact that franchising has
right.
on our lives.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
A good point. I bought one myself for relatives over the Christmas.
Oh, okay, holiday. Interesting. Yeah, this is the first time we're actually purchasing one. I've never did, but you know, doing the show, you know, familiar with Edible Arrangements.
Right.
You know, I said, you know, let's try that.
Also says here, Marty, with my marketing background, I saw how expensive it is to open a business and come up with a concept, a logo, and a theme for the website, she says. And she's a former marketing manager for private jet service broker Jets.com in Quincy. With the franchise, you've got a lot of that already established for you, and you're buying into that. Interest from investors, such as Guglielmi, kind of a tough name to pronounce, has translated into explosive growth for Edible Arrangements and other New England-based franchise companies last year. The fruit bouquet company led the region's franchisors in growth with a 211% increase in store units, according to data compiled by Entrepreneur Magazine and the New England Franchise Association. And as we know, Jim Cohen, executive director of the Pembroke-based Franchise Association, said interest in franchise opportunities has intensified in the current fragmented media environment. Today, because of the clutter of media, it's more important than ever to have that brand name, which is very difficult to create on its own. That's a good
right.
point.
It is, yeah.
That's
I'd love to have Jim back on the show, too. He was so knowledgeable, Don, when we had him on the first time. You know, I mean, he really knows his stuff when it comes to franchising.
And there's a good chance we'll see him down in D.C.
That's right. That's right. We did. We saw him last year. Yeah.
Here's something, Marty, from the USA Today. Franchises give veterans a break. I thought this was an important article by Aaron Cutts.
Mm-hmm.
On a typical weekday, Jason Dethier puts his five-year-old daughter on the school bus and watches his two younger children at home while his wife, Marka, leads fitness classes for bouncing toddlers at the Roly Poly's gym franchise they opened 3 months ago. At lunchtime, they switch roles. Their lives might have taken a different course if not for a magazine story they ran across last summer when they were interviewing for corporate jobs ahead of their discharges from the Air Force. The story was about two Navy veterans who had left corporate life to start Roly Polies, a young company that was franchising gymnasiums and activity centers for young children.
Interesting.
It says, John Mann and Joseph Dondereau had started the first Roly Polies in Severna Park, Maryland in 2002 and were looking for entrepreneurs to take their concept to other communities. It looked like fun, Mark Adethier says. We joked about how funny it would be if we did this. I guess you get to the point sometimes where, I mean, it's such a big life change.
Right.
And sometimes you don't picture yourself doing something like that, but...
No, it's funny, as you were talking about that, Don, you remember when we had, God, I was just going back over a year and a half ago, PB Loco, when we had, you know, their three attorneys, they started this whole thing, and Ken Hall was one of the founders of the company. So here he is, he gets his law degree and all that other stuff, you know, and now he finds himself like schlepping peanut butter, you know, and they
right.
were talking about being on the assembly line where they were actually making the peanut butter. I just thought that was such a great story, and that's very common, you know, we've heard that story a number of times, so it's just very interesting how that
right.
happens, you know. But it's a positive experience, it seems like, for a lot of these people, you know, such a change in their
right.
lifestyle, but also enjoyable at the same time, so that's interesting.
The article goes on, Marty, the Deaf Ears opened their Somerville, South Carolina franchise in November using the year's salaries they received after taking buyouts from the Air Force with a small loan. Roly Polies helped, too. The company actively recruits veterans to their business by providing them a 15% discount off the regular $40,000 franchise fee.
That's great. That's fantastic. I think that
yeah,
companies are doing that now.
Big savings. Veterans own 5 of the 7 Roly Polies franchises currently open. Mann says, Roly Polies is just one of almost 300 businesses providing financial benefits to honorably discharged veterans looking to open a franchise through the Veterans Transition Franchise Initiative, also called VetFran.
Right, right. It's a great organization, and I think what we're going to see, Don, is over time a lot more franchisors stepping into this arena, you know, and,
right.
you know, because not everybody or not every franchise is part of VetFran. And we had some great offers, by the way. I think, wasn't Miami Rice putting one of them where I think he was dropping the franchise fee for all veterans, you know? So I thought that was such a strong offer, and you could see the growth.
And VetFran is a collaboration of the IFA, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, the Small Business Administration, or SBA,
right.
and the Veterans Corp.
Right.
Says more than 1,000 veterans have opened franchises through the program, says Terry Hill, Vice President of Communications for the IFA. A typical VetFran discount ranges from 15 to 25% off franchising fee costs. Total startup costs can run from $15,000 to millions of dollars. VetFran companies offer assistance to recently discharged veterans, as well as those out of the armed services for decades. They include fitness centers, repair services, restaurants, UPS and mailbox, et cetera, stores, which has opened the most franchises through VetFran, over 130. The UPS store and mailbox, et cetera, have been opened by veterans.
That's great. I think it's a great organization. You know, I would plug them every show. You know, I mean, it's just
right.
just fantastic. That's great.
Just a little bit further here. It says the original VetFran, this is an interesting program, was founded by Donald Dwyer, now deceased owner of several home repair companies, who sought veterans for positions in his companies because he valued the work ethic and management skills they learned in the military service.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, the company even created a director of military development position to specifically target veterans for recruitment.
Yeah, interesting.
Sometimes it doesn't work out perfectly, says Dina Dwyer Owens, Dwyer's daughter and CEO of the Dwyer Group, but
right.
veterans just really absorb systems. They haven't had a big challenge with them. So they're saying that's really worked out using that system for their company.
It's an interesting question. You know, I'd love to, you know, I always say, you know, when I go for my PhD one day, I'd love to, you know, do this as one of my topics is, you know, I always felt that veterans or, you know, people in the military would probably, I don't know if you agree with this, but make the ultimate franchisee, you know, because the ability to follow a system, you know.
Right.
Because, again, that's not for everybody, you know. It's... following a system is not always the easiest thing to do for some people. You know what I mean? Some people are
right.
so entrepreneurial that they want to recreate the wheel, you know, and this is probably not for them, you know. So, absolutely. That's interesting. But today we have a great show, Don. We're meeting with Eric Kurjan, who, as you mentioned earlier, is a franchise owner to Six Disciplines. And in a time when many businesses are looking to cut their costs and downsize teams, Eric, who again is a franchise owner to Six Disciplines Ohio Group, is getting small business leaders to bring him into their team and to work and align their mission and their vision. And again, as we were saying earlier, Six Disciplines Franchise Opportunity, which Karajan is a franchise partner, is a strategy execution program for small businesses. Hey, Eric, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Eric. Eric, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say hi to Eric.
Thanks a lot, Eric, for coming on the show. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to hearing about everything you've been doing with the franchise. I guess you're keeping pretty busy, huh?
Things are very busy right now. It's great.
That's good. That's good. Eric, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today. We had Gary Harst on our show last year, and he's an incredible gentleman. I read his book, Six Disciplines for Excellence, and I just thought he was fantastic. So it was great to get to speak to him. So, you know, Don and I are both excited to get to speak with you today as well. He must be fantastic to work with, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I have a long history with Gary, actually now approaching 18 years.
Oh, that's something.
So it's been a long, very fruitful relationship and really a wonderful guy to work with.
That's fantastic. We would like to start off, Eric, asking our guest where you're calling from today.
I'm in Findlay, Ohio, about 40 miles south of Toledo.
Oh, okay, great. How's the weather there? I know you guys have got hit this winter.
we've had our share. Actually, today it's sunny and flooding again.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's not good. You know, it's funny. Actually, last time we had Gary on the show, Don, it was flooding there as well, you know, so Ohio got hit.
I read in our paper this morning, this is the 11th flood in 15 months.
That's incredible. Oh, geez.
So I don't know about global warming or any of the other
exactly.
Global issues from that perspective.
Right, right. Well, hopefully
but something's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's something. Gary, Eric, what were you doing before joining Six Disciplines? It sounds like you have a long history with Gary, as you were saying.
Well, I'll take you back a couple of years here. I actually joined up with Gary in 1990. I was recruited to become a vice president of sales and marketing when Gary owned the Solomon Software Organization,
right,
which was a mid-market accounting software provider.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran the sales and marketing organization for about 6 years, and I joke that I made so many complaints about the level of service that our support organization was providing that they told me, okay, Smarty, go fix it. So I went from running sales and marketing to re-engineering the services and support organization, which was about a 60-person operation at that time, and we were really doing poorly and needed to change that. So I spent about 2 years rebuilding that organization and moved on to build some other pieces of the business. And then in 2000, the company, Gary sold the company to one of our competitors, a company called Great Plains Software out of Fargo, North Dakota, publicly traded company. And I ran, at that point, Gary left, and I ran the Solomon organization for Great Plains. And then a year later, Microsoft bought Great Plains, so I became a Microsoft employee.
Yeah, I remember that story, yeah.
I ran a portion of the Microsoft business on that accounting side of the house. Accounting software side of the house. I had about 500 people in my organization. It's a North American services organization providing technical support, consulting, and training. And did that for about 3 years, and we had built a wonderful facility here in Findlay, about 200 employees located here, and Microsoft decided at one point in time that those people either needed to move to Fargo, North Dakota, or move to Seattle, Washington. And we went to Gary, who had left and then started the Six Disciplines business, and said, hey, Gary, you ready to hire a couple hundred people? He said, not quite yet, not ready for that.
Yeah.
And he had an idea, and he said, what if we were able to keep all that intellectual capital in Northwest Ohio, do the same work that those people are doing today, which was either developing and or supporting the Solomon product line for Microsoft, what if we kept it in Northwest Ohio but spun it off?
Right.
So he made that proposal to Microsoft, and Microsoft liked the idea. And in this late spring of 2004, we spun off a brand-new company, or Gary did, called Plumline Solutions, which is still in existence today. And Gary said, I'm not going to do it, though, unless, Eric, you leave Microsoft to run it.
Right.
So I left Microsoft to run this brand-new startup company and did that for about 2 years. And in the late spring of 06, the first franchise location that Gary had started here in Findlay, the prototype center, was being run by a former colleague of mine, a guy named John Crawford. And unfortunately, John had been battling cancer for about 13 years and ultimately lost that battle. And so as John unfortunately was unable to fulfill his role, I went to Gary and said, so what are you going to do with the Northwest Ohio Center? How are you going to make that happen? He said, I have no idea. It's a critical center. It's got to be successful. We've got to be in a position to show other franchisees that this thing works. And so I said, well, hey, what if I buy it? And he looked at me kind of funny and said, well, why would you leave Plumline? And I said, well, you know, you've done so many things for me and my family and the opportunities that you presented, I feel like I owe you. He said, well, you don't owe me anything. I said, well, what if I want to help you? He goes, okay, I'll take your help. So in June of 06, in June of 06, I took over this franchise location. And then in June of last year, I bought the rights to the remaining franchises in Ohio. So I now have five franchise location rights. Only one is up and running. That's the Northwest Ohio one today.
So it wasn't just to help your friend Gary. I mean, this is really something you feel that you'd have a lot of interest in. I mean, I know your background is tremendous with all your management and sales and so forth. This was really something you really thought that you were going to, really like as well, Eric, or, you know, probably wouldn't have come on, right?
Right. Actually, there's a couple components to it that intrigued me. One is some years ago, I learned that I'm a builder. And that's what I really like to do, and I think I finally learned that when Gary asked me to take over the services organization that was floundering, and I had to rebuild it. And I think ultimately it's the thrill of taking on an incredibly challenging opportunity and turning it into something successful. And I've been able to do that multiple times in my career. So what I saw was, here's something that the lump of clay is there, and it has some shape. However, there's an opportunity to really mold and change the direction of an organization. And that's what I see with being in early in a franchise operation like we are. And so that's very intriguing. And, of course, there's significant upside here. There's a great upside for an individual, an owner, who's looking to parlay the ownership into something bigger.
Interesting.
So that's certainly the attraction for me.
So I guess that's the entrepreneurship in you.
Evidently, I never would have characterized myself as an entrepreneur, since all my career has been working for somebody else, and someone else being responsible for the paying me, writing me the check. And now I'm the guy writing the checks.
Right.
Right.
Tell us a little more about the history of Six Disciplines. I mean, we know Gary started it, but there must be more to the story, of course.
Yeah, Gary has he's a guy who would never be satisfied with taking his spoils from his victory and going off and sitting on a beach somewhere. That's just not Gary. And what he observed in business through his years at Salomon and the work he had seen with the client companies who utilized the Salomon product and the small businesses who actually resold the Salomon product, the dealers, if you will, he saw something that was missing in all of them, and that was a process to actually execute what they wanted to get done. And his observation really was, gee, these big businesses are out there. They've got teams of people who focus on strategy and then focus on how do they go execute that strategy and how do they measure the results from that strategy. And so if you think about the Norton Kaplan balanced scorecard ideas and those kinds of elements, all those things have been more pointed at larger organizations. And what Gary observed was these smaller organizations, small mid-sized businesses, they just don't have that. They, one, don't have those kinds of resources from a personnel standpoint, and in many cases don't have the training or the background to think in those in that fashion. You know, take the third generation 200 employee manufacturing company where each one of those generational leaders has worked nowhere except in that business. And if that's the case, then maybe they don't have a heck of a lot of experience from a strategy perspective or how to go do that. So what Gary saw was an opportunity to produce a process to go make that happen. So what Gary identified was there's really three key elements to this. There's a fourth as well, but I'll stick with the top three. And they are, one, create a process, a recipe, if you will, that you can follow time in and time out. So if you wanted to bake a cake, and you wanted to bake that cake in the same way every single time, it would be best if you followed a recipe. If you can, you can vary from that recipe, but the results may vary. The second element is, so that's the methodology or process or program. The second element is the coaching. If you have someone who's there as an advisor, who's coaching you as the business leader, ensuring that you're actually following up on the things that you said you would do, the likelihood of you actually executing against those is higher. And I'll give you another analogy, and that is one of working with a personal trainer. Now, for me personally, I had a couple of low back surgeries 4 years ago, and I'm an avid golfer. And I said, there's no way I'm going to let this surgery sideline my golf game. So I went to a personal trainer, and he started to work with me and was very careful about how we rebuilt my core and abs and low back, all those elements that would support my back. And guess what? 4 years later, I still work out with that guy 3 days a week. Well, why do I do that? I mean, I'm in great shape. My back doesn't bother me at all. But there's something about having that guy helping me, coaching me, coercing me to do what needs to be done. And I can tell you there are many cold mornings in Ohio at 5:30 that I'm thinking, boy, I don't really feel like getting out of bed. But I know that Mike's waiting for me at the gym, and if I don't show up, I'm letting him down, and plus I'm wasting money. So having that coach, that encouragement, that person who's there to help me get reach my goals is a vital element. So that's two. And three is the Six Disciplines process has developed some software tools that are used to help manage this process. So it's a repository for the direction that we're trying to take the company. It's a tool set that's used by the individuals within the organization to help them manage their day-to-day operations and activities. It helps them set the schedule as to what they're going to work on. It keeps them focused on what's most important. And what we see in many small organizations or mid-sized organizations is people just can't stay focused. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, jumping from one item to the next item to the next item, and they never get any of them done or done well. So having a tool that helps me stay on track is a vital element. The fourth element that I skipped over, number four, is having a learning community. So now within Northwest Ohio with over 20 clients, we now have this learning community, and I bring my clients together on a quarterly basis so that they can learn from each other and then they can build skills from each other, and there's just value in building that learning community. So for a new franchisee who wouldn't have the number of clients I do, that will take a little bit more time. So the first three are the critical ones for a new franchisee.
And on the fourth one, too, Eric, I mean, that's something that a lot of small businesses lack, I guess, you know, is that sense of community. You know, I think a lot of times they feel very isolated, and that's a great time to, you know, share their ideas, you know, and brainstorm with each other, so you say, you know, and share best practices, I guess, is what you call it as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, exactly. In fact, the last session that we held, it goes really back as a result of two sessions ago, I asked some questions of the attendees and said, Hey, folks, what is it that you'd like to see from us in this next session? And they identified four or five different items, and we took the top one, which was we'd really like to build more leadership skills in our organization. So within Six Disciplines, we talk a lot about leadership. We talk a lot about the processes that need to be built for leadership. But in our normal course of business and coaching, we're not really teaching that element. There are professionals who do that. So based on a long relationship that I've had with a firm that's based in Fort Myers, Florida, who I used through my Solomon, my Great Plains, my Microsoft days, and my Plumline days, I brought them in to do some leadership training with this group of folks. And now it's, wow, we want more of this. Because, again, it's just an element where they haven't had exposure to some of these pieces on how do I communicate better within my organization? How do I build skills in my organization and recognize that each one of my team members on my leadership team operate with a different thought process, the analytical versus the driver, if you will, those particular kinds of quadrant sort of views of personality. So we hope some folks get a better understanding of what they're composed of.
Right, absolutely. And you guys go beyond business coaching too, Eric, would you say? You know, I got that impression when we had Gary on the phone. I think you thought the same thing, Don, was, you know, it was kind of like a broader than training or consulting. It
right.
was, I think Gary used the word business excellence program, you know, so it was just, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, what's interesting is if you look at what's out in the marketplace today, there's really no one who does exactly what we do, which is help an organization define where it wants to go, then help the organization define the steps to get there, then help the organization actually measure how they're getting there and help them get there. So it's different. And when I talk to prospective clients, as an example, they say, well, wait a minute, you mean you don't just show up, give us the notebook, and then go away?
Right.
No, we don't go away. Oh,
exactly.
And either they view that as good or bad, I'm not sure which. But in my client companies, they definitely view it as good. Because what they're missing is this ongoing connection with someone to help them stay focused, facilitate. So as an example, on a quarterly basis, we bring our clients back together, their leadership team back together. We take a look at what did we commit to this year overall? What did we commit to do this current quarter? So as an example, right now we're in the end of the stream here for Q1. And so we've taken our clients through a quarterly process. So we finished our annual planning, if they were on a calendar fiscal, finished our annual planning back in December, built the plan out, started to execute in Q1 against what we said was important for this quarter. So now we're back in the office here in March looking at, okay, this is what we said we wanted to do this year. Great. This is what we said we were going to get done this quarter. Great. What are we going to do next quarter to continue down this path? So we lay out the next quarter's plan. So as of the 31st of March, every one of my clients will have an improved plan for each of their leadership team members so that they can go get the work done that's critical to driving the business. So that's very different than anything else that's out there in terms of that staying with the client. And again, at a price point that doesn't scare the world away, one of the things that we tell clients is, where else can you get this level of assistance, this level of senior leadership in your team at a price point that's really at the price point of a office manager?
Right.
Absolutely.
It's well worth it. Eric, what percentage of your typical business owner, they hire six disciplines to come in, is it usually for just a set period of time, a year, or in some cases, you know, for life? They keep using your service every year. Is there a certain time period?
Well, what I've found so far is that the vast majority, I'd say well over 90%, are staying with us. They're not falling out. There's not an attrition. Now, I would tell you that there is attrition. I've had two clients in this past year who've resigned from the relationship. One was a very small business that got brought on early on prior to me purchasing the franchise, got brought on, and they were just plain too small. And what I mean by too small is there were only 16 people in the operation. That's really not the right size of organization for us.
Right.
So they dropped out. Then I had another client who was actually, I would on paper say, they were a great fit, couple hundred employees, second generation, third generation business, and what I thought was on paper a good fit. When you get down to it, it still takes a leader who's willing to commit his energy, his or her energy, to make this successful. And here was a leader who wasn't willing to do that. And got to the end of a year, and I said to that particular individual, I think you're wasting your money. So,
right.
That's interesting.
And so we parted ways. But certainly not offensive in any way, just
right.
Parted ways.
It seems like, Eric, that as opposed to 10 years ago, if a company needs help or wants to improve, maximize their profits and service and everything, that it's becoming a little more normal to have a service like yours. Where like 10 years ago, you know, people didn't think first off, hey, I'll look to use a company like yours. I guess it's becoming more mainstream now, or are we still in the early stages of companies, you know, considering your type of franchise service?
Well, I actually think it's variable, and there's a middle of the road answer for you.
Yeah.
So here's what I've seen. I've seen where there are client companies and client prospect companies that have used outside resources before, and they are much more willing to consider our services. It's easier for them. They said, oh, yeah, we've used outside consultants to assist us with lean process or Six Sigma or something. We brought somebody in to help us get our ISO certification, whatever it might be, depending on their industry. So we've got folks like that. And then we've got other folks who have really held the cards close to the vest, and this is really odd for them, and there's a certain level of discomfort for them to consider sharing those innermost secrets with an outside organization. But what we're finding is that as we continue to build, there's this connection out in the marketplace, and so one business owner talks to another business owner who talks to another business owner, and suddenly there's this lovely reference base that starts to get built,
right.
And people going, hey, you really ought to talk to these guys because they've really made a difference in our business. So, again, I think there's perhaps we are early on in the willingness for people to consider outside services, but
the referral network is really working great for you guys.
Sure. Oh, it's amazing. We have several clients, two in particular I could think of right off the top of my head, who have been so impressed with what we've done for them, they actually did their own letter-writing campaign to colleagues of theirs in their markets or industries,
yeah,
and said, hey, you know, I've worked with these guys. They're really good. You need to talk to them. So,
right.
I mean, I couldn't ask for a better marketing program, and I didn't have to do anything. They just said, hey, we want to do this. We're so excited. We want to share this. I said, okay.
That's great.
So, Eric, so people listening now have a good of course, idea what Six Disciplines does, but you know, tell us about the Six Disciplines franchise system.
Okay. How should I start?
Start from the first word in your sentence. No. I'd say you talked about how Gary started the franchise,
yep,
and what the company does, but as far as a potential franchisee, like, you know, what would they be getting into? I mean, what's the system all about?
So I've had the benefit of being the prototype franchise, so I get called just about every time a new franchisee considers Six Disciplines, and they want to talk to me, they want to understand what processes I've put in place from a marketing perspective in particular, since obviously generating those leads is a critical aspect. And then what kind of people have I hired, and you know, what's it take cash-wise to get this thing going. So those kinds of elements are obviously the top-of-mind elements for any new franchisee. And from a Six Disciplines corporate perspective, there's tremendous support in terms of helping a new franchisee get up and going. And it's one, learning the system, you know, what is Six Disciplines, how does it work, and then how do you convey that to a prospective client, and then there are some very, very specific processes that have been built by the corporate organization on implementation. So steps to take the client through from the get-go, from the point they sign the contract to getting them into the leadership center so that we can actually perform the leadership retreat, which is a three-day event where we're digging into the organization, understanding where they want to go and how they're going to get that work done and the facilitation behind it. The use of the tools that I mentioned earlier, how do we use those tools and implement those tools. So those pieces are very well defined, very well scripted out as to what the expectation is. And Gary plays a very active role in the training of those coaches or facilitators. One of the things that Gary wants to make sure is that we're not out there as franchisees modifying the process. It's not to say that Gary doesn't and the team doesn't listen to feedback, because they certainly do, but what they really want to make sure that they have in their hands is, okay, Mr. Ms. Franchisee, this is how you're going to communicate these pieces. This is what needs to happen. We're not going to skip these steps just because you don't like them. There's process. There's intent. It's baking the cake. So if you expect the cake to turn out the same way, better follow the steps. And one of the things that I did mention just a moment ago is the willingness for the corporate organization to listen. They aren't operating in an ivory tower and saying, well, this is the only way this possibly could work. What they've learned from us as franchisees is, you know, this stuff is challenging to deliver in this fashion, or this is the reality of the mix of personnel that are in a client retreat, or the needs of a given organization or individual may look like X versus the Y that you gave me. So we've had an opportunity to have a real impact on the direction and content of the franchise opportunity and material.
That's interesting. Do you find that all these services you're providing, Eric, I mean, it gives people back their, I guess you could say, their passion for their jobs, you know, one of the end results of your services?
Of the businesses that we work with?
Yeah, the services that you guys provide to the businesses you work with. Do you find that, you know, after you guys start working with them, they're more passionate about their job? I was thinking, we had Michael Gerber on our show a couple weeks ago, you know, and I was thinking about this whole dreaming thing and more mm-hmm. enthusiasm for their jobs and making a difference, you know, willingness to be able to contribute, you know, something meaningful so you can say.
Yeah. So let me give you a generalization, and then let me give you a real specific story. The generalization is that the look in the eye of the CEO after they've either first completed the retreat process and or now are up and running and have been for a quarter or two or three or four is, this stuff works. This is amazing. I never thought we could be here. And so that is just a huge reward as an individual like myself who looks at that and says, wow, this stuff is really great. It really does work. And these guys are really happy.
Right.
So that's the generalization, and that's certainly something that is very rewarding,
right.
I guess is the best way to put it.
Right.
Specifically, and I'll use this gentleman's name because I know he'll allow me to do so. We have a client, a gentleman by the name of Paul Kramer. He actually wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal about his organization back in October and Six Disciplines about succession planning. And what he was faced with was, he's the second generation. He started to bring his kids into the business, and he was at a kind of a point in his career where he was bored with the business. He didn't feel engaged with it, and he was at a point where either I get this thing really going well or I sell it. And I got to get it going well because I've got these kids coming into it. So I got in touch with Paul. He's a local business, and what his business is actually three different types of elements. He is an industrial launderer, so he does uniforms and rugs and those kinds of things that are utilized in an industrial setting. He has two retail dry cleaning locations, and he has a business promotions business, you know, shirts and mugs and pens and those sorts of items as well. So we got in touch, and he said, you know, this is where I think I want to lead the business, and I'm not really sure. And, you know, if anything, I think it would be really valuable if I could have a formula, a process that my kids could follow so that if indeed my kids take over this business, they know how to do this so that there's really truly that recipe for them to follow. Well, we got engaged with Paul's organization, and what has happened in a year is a significant transformation in his business. So for one, he is just really excited about where his business is going. He tells me at least once a month how excited he is about where the business is and how excited he is about being in the business. And he specifically points to Six Disciplines and says, you guys have helped me do this. You have re-energized me. You have recommitted me to this business. And so there's a real testimonial from a real person who says, yeah, this stuff has changed the way we're doing things. And it does. It makes a difference. He'll tell you that one of the things that we helped him do was part of the upfront process of starting a relationship with us, and occurs annually as well, is we survey team members, we survey customers, we survey vendors. Well, the team member survey that we did showed some pretty significant weakness in his organization, especially with respect to the leadership team, so employees' view of the leadership team. Well, it was a shock to Paul. He thought he was doing a good job, and he thought that he was doing things well.
Right.
And when he saw the results of his couple hundred folks or 150 folks, I had to talk him off the ledge. So one of the things we did was we put in place some strategic action to improve communication throughout the business.
Right.
So what Paul does now is on a quarterly basis, he holds a town hall meeting. So he holds multiple meetings because he's got multiple shift organization. in multiple locations. So he holds multiple town hall meetings once a quarter. He shares with them, here's where we are. This is what we said we were going to do this year. Here's how we're performing against it. And here's where we're going next quarter. Also in that meeting, he holds a segment that he calls Ask Paul. So in all his plants and all his locations, he installed an Ask Paul suggestion box. And in that suggestion box go comments. And in those meetings, he answers every single one of those questions that are in that box. So then we re-evaluated a year later, and guess what? His numbers jumped dramatically positive. And so once again, what we're proving here is that the process works. We have fixed an issue that existed in his business. He has he's had some appropriate attrition, and that meaning that he's had some folks that he's moved to a higher level of accountability who said, I don't think I want to be held accountable. I think I'll leave, which was good. And he's retained his better employees, and he's got a happier workforce. So that's a result of the relationship with Six Disciplines.
It's a great story. It's a win-win all around with re-energizing him, like you said, and increased profits for the company. And then I'm sure his kids, if they do take over the business, they'll now have that system. So.
Right. What's interesting, his daughter who's in the business, she's become a tremendous advocate for us, and she belongs to a group through the University of Toledo. It's part of the Center for Family Business at the University of Toledo, and she is a very outspoken cheerleader for us with respect to Six Disciplines and her fellow colleagues who are family business owners as well. So, again, it's this is unsolicited. You know, these folks go, this stuff is really working for us. You should check it out. So.
And like we talked about before, you know, word of mouth spreads on that, and that's how Six Disciplines will be expanding, of course.
And that story you just told, Eric, I mean, that must be very rewarding for you as well. I can't imagine what that feels like, you know, to have that impact, you know, on their business.
It's really fun. I've told Gary this a dozen times. I'm having the most fun I've ever had. Being a business owner has its challenges. You know, there's things that wake me up in the middle of the night regularly.
Right.
but it's really fun. It's so exciting to take advantage of all the things that I've learned over my last 20 years in business and put them to work for somebody else and share with them. And you build this trusted advisor relationship with these folks. You know, it's not unusual for me to get a call on a Saturday morning from one of my colleagues who says, hey, I'm at such and such having coffee. Can you come and sit down with me? And, you know, if I'm not doing anything, I'd be happy to do that.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's this trusted relationship, which is it's very exciting.
It's fantastic. We have about 60 seconds, Eric. What's the best way for someone to get more information on your services or the Six Disciplines franchise opportunity?
Well, if they just go to sixdisciplines.com, six is spelled out, S-I-X, sixdisciplines.com, you can find all the information. You can travel to the Northwest Ohio segment of the website and see testimonials and video testimonials of some of our clients, and or you can gain franchise information from that same website.
That's fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Eric. You've been a fantastic guest, and I think you guys have an incredible and unique service.
Keep up the good work, Eric. Doing a great job.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you back.
Hey, well, thank you. And gentlemen, thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, Eric. You have a great day today.
Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Great concept. Tandon.
Yeah. I mean, it's why we had this particular franchise on a second time, because it's very interesting, because it, you know, covers two things, you know, about franchising, of course, and they're very successful in growing, and then just talking about basic business principles and goals, and, you know, it's nice hearing, you know, those success stories, of course.
Absolutely.
You had a great question there. I would tend to think if, because people could be beaten down in business. I mean, we're both business owners, and
right.
You always have to be. At least that's the way I am. You always have to be have goals and think about the next thing to do, and you know, keep yourself energized and keep that passion going.
It's so important.
A lot of the people we've interviewed from Franchise Systems says is one of the biggest keys is just to have passion.
Exactly.
But we're all human, and sometimes you lose that. And a company like Six Disciplines can come along and fine-tune things for you and you know, help you get that energy back.
Right, give people back their passion, you know. And as Eric was telling the story of that one gentleman, you know, it felt like that's what he was lacking, was enthusiasm and passion for the job. And you could see the difference that occurred once six disciplines kind of came in, and you know, the direction that this business is actually going. And now he's passing it on to his kids, you know. So just fantastic. I thought it was a great show. And next week we have, was it Fish Window Cleaning, right, Don?
Yes, that'll be a great show.
That's fantastic. So good job today, Don, and I guess we'll be talking next week.
Okay, great, Marty.
Thanks a lot, Don. Have a great day.
You take
care. Bye-bye.